One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, welcome back to Oldie But A Goodie. Zach and I still on break, which is why this week you're getting the third, the final entry into Sam Raimi's Evil Dead trilogy. It's our review of Army of Darkness, which takes the franchise in some pretty different directions. And as always, if you get to the end of this episode and you're like, I want to check out the other Evil Dead reviews, well, they are going to be coming out here on the main feed over the next couple weeks. Or you can head to patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod, sign up for $3.50 US a month and get access to all of our previous bonus episodes, including every single Evil Dead episode, or just wait until they're here on the main feed. I mean, that's also an option. But if you do sign up, you get access to a brand new bonus episode, which is going to be out next week. Next week, I'm very excited. It's on a movie called Killer Condom. That's going to be weird. Can't wait to do that. Patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod. But until then, here it is, our review of Army of Darkness.
In a world,
dun dun,
where people with chainsaws live in the Dark Ages.
I'm living in the Dark Ages.
And fight versions of themselves.
Oh, hey, it's me. Oh, hey, it's me.
That look like discount orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Grr, orcai.
In the world where the scariest thing about the finale of a trilogy that started with a gory film that was banned everywhere...
I don't know how to do that one.
The scariest thing about it is a bunch of stop-motion skeletons that are like the droids from the prequels.
Whee!
But the movie's great.
It's pretty fun.
Army of Darkness, coming to cinemas soon, rated PG-13 and not R-18 like the other ones.
Yep.
Patreon, hello.
Hello, welcome to Patreon. Yes, that was an intro. I like that one. That was pretty good.
Like a trailer, like an honest trailer, if you will.
Yes.
Remember honest trailers? They were really good like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember watching them 5 years ago. That was pretty good.
That was good. I wonder if they're still going. Probably.
They're probably milking that thing dry.
Welcome to Patreon, the show where we make fun of other content creators.
Ha-ha! Yes, because we are the peak of comedy right here.
Yes.
It peaks here, and only here.
Only here. And by peak, we mean the audio, and not the...
Yep.
Oh, we've been doing the Evil Dead movies all last month, all this month. Evil Dead here, Evil Dead there, Evil Dead under your pillow. That's what we're all about. We're all about the Evil Dead. And this week, it's Army of Darkness, the third in the Evil Dead trilogy.
Yes, except it's not called Evil Dead 3, it's called Army of Darkness.
I think it was originally going to be called the Medieval Dead, which I don't like. Oh, so I'm glad they called it Army of Darkness.
No, Medieval Dead's so much cooler. No, Medieval Dead. What? That's such a better name. Army of Darkness is lame.
I think another reason as well could be just like the second one, this is a brand new production company, but this isn't like a tiny production company like the second one. This is Universal Pictures. So maybe they didn't have the rights for the Evil Dead name.
But they have the rights to make the movie with the guy? I don't know about that one, Chief.
I don't
write that one up.
Well, they had to reshoot all the flashbacks again.
Although they... God damn these flashbacks. Although, I think back then, flashbacks were more of a necessary thing.
Oh, yeah. Especially for this movie. Like,
yeah.
Imagine going in blind for this film without any flashbacks.
I think the flashbacks were better in this movie.
Yes.
They're more concise and made more sense, at least.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of, like, stuff isn't canon still. Whereas in this one, I think what isn't canon is the end of Evil Dead 2. Because this picks up right as he's falling through the portal, and that's when this movie starts.
Yeah, they've changed the ending of the second one,
which I was fine with, although it was a bit weird. They did the same thing with the first one as well.
Yeah.
They, like, in the second movie, they changed the ending, so I guess that's just what they do in these ones. Yeah. They just change the ending so they can make the movie they want.
I would love to make a, like, 4.5 hour cut of the whole trilogy that lines them all up perfectly and see how that works.
Yeah, yeah, cut out the bits that aren't canon.
Yeah. But that would mean removing the opening flashback of this movie where it's Ash as a homeware store clerk, which is great.
Yeah, so we get some new lore on our hero, some new epic backstory.
Mm.
That he works at H Mart or whatever it's called.
There was a quote that I did write down.
S Mart, that's right.
Shop Smart. Shop S Smart.
S Smart.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's S, but then Mart. Oh, that's good. So dumb.
It's good.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And I love his just sudden weird obsession with it that they've added. It only added everything.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, the last two movies, they're set not really in the span of one night, because there is that time where it's daytime for a little bit, but they are pretty much set
It's like 48 hours.
Yeah, like a very concise time period.
So we don't know what happens in his actual life. And we find out in this movie.
We find out,
yeah. And it's great. It's fantastic because we get to know about all about his his hardware in the sporting section.
He goes so in-depth about the weapons and what they're good for.
I believe it's $109.95. Mm-hmm. That's a good price.
This series really just goes full comedy here. There's no horror. This is just comedy.
No. This is not a horror movie, which I was actually kind of disappointed.
Mm.
The sort of lack of horror, because it originally is a horror thing. I think I like the second movie more.
Oh, okay, because I know last time you were saying the first movie's a 3, second's a 4, your hope and Army of Darkness is a 5, but from what I'm getting from you now, it doesn't feel like a 5 from you.
I think what I'm going to say, we're skipping to the end here, but I want to give the first one a 3.5.
Yep.
It's a retrospective because you need to see these two movies to appreciate the first movie more.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed.
Which I do now,
yeah.
Which is good. The second movie I'm going to give a 4.5, which I originally wanted to do anyway, so I should have done that. I should have gone with my gut. And then this movie a 4.
Yeah, okay.
So I got a 3.5, this a 4, and then the second one a 4.5.
And then eventually when you rewatch the whole trilogy for a Patreon series of a podcast you cover, they're all 5 out of 5.
Yeah, all blanket 5 out of 5s, yeah.
Which is what I've done. So did you, because you're definitely more of a, well, I would say you're more of a fantasy fan than me. We're both pretty big fantasy heads.
Yeah.
But you're more of a fan of, like, the sword and sorcery movies than me.
Yeah. I guess, I'm more a fan of bad fantasy was what I was gonna say, but, like.
No, I don't, well, not necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah. We're both fantasy nerds, but I'm a big fan of the fantasy.
Mm.
So I did like the fantasy aspect. I feel like there could have been more, though. I was really hoping there was a few things more, but we got a weird fantasy movie. This is not what I was expecting.
No, it feels more like a Monty Python film than a Conan the Barbarian.
Correct. I thought we were going to get horror in fantasy, but we just got a weird fantasy.
There's moments of horror, but it's not scary. It's all played for laughs.
No.
It's all like the skeletons are making jokes like they're droids or whatever.
I love the skeletons. Oh, the skeletons were perfect.
Yeah.
The skeletons were perfect. There wasn't much of the horror, though. Like, there was the windmill scene, and that's the, like, everything that happens in the windmill is the only horror stuff.
Yeah.
Like, nothing screams Ash is going fucking crazy in this movie.
Oh, there is the pit right at the start with the witch. Yeah, but
that's not really scary, is it?
It's not scary, but there's a lot of blood.
Oh, yeah, there's one guy that gets tossed in and there's a blood geyser.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. The Deadites are very silly, although there is the She-Witch. Which was very funny.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually. There was a little bit, but it's more like It felt more like an action. Mm. It's an action fantasy, not a horror fantasy.
Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like it loses that little bit of itself in making it more action-y.
Mm.
It's still good, still good. But, like, if they had just made it more scary... Because I don't think I felt scared at any point during this film, ever. Not even a little bit.
Not at all.
Whereas the second one, you feel a bit of tension, you know? Nothing here really tortures him. There's, like, the little dudes, little guys little that guys. Torture him. And I was like, oh, a bit more of that torture. Maybe he'll go a bit more crazy. No.
No. No. He's just an action hero. He's just, like, he's seducing medieval women. He's eating grapes.
Well, yeah, that was so stupid. That was so stupid. Oh, dear.
But the story.
Mm.
We did mention the flashbacks. What else is in this movie? Because it does have more of a story, kind of, than the first two.
Yes. Yes. So, we start off at the end of the second movie.
Yeah.
A little bit changed so they could do this movie, but that's fine. Yeah, I don't mind.
Mm.
So he goes through the portal from the old abandoned shack that sucked up the darkness. He gets sucked up into the portal, and bop, he's in the 1300s. Mm. They're like, "Hey yo, who are you?" And he's like, "I don't know. I just want to go home." And they're like, "Ah, you're probably one of Henry's men. We got to take you back and execute you." Ha ha. And a wise man's like, "Hey, wait, he's supposed to be the savior. Don't do that."
Yeah, because there's a feud going on between Lord Arthur and Duke Henry, and they think he's one of Duke Henry's men.
Yeah, it's a weird... Okay, their plot line is very stupid.
It is kind of like, it feels like it's written by people who don't read fantasy, but also I think that's the joke, and I think that's what makes it even better.
Yeah,
is that it's kind of self-aware in how dumb medieval land is depicted in this. Because it's not at all. Mm. It's like some weird, like, kids playing in a sandcastle version of the medieval ages.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like if they had made it better, because like they have this conflict, and one of the other main characters, the lady lead, her brother dies to this thing, and that is like a 2-second plot where she hates Ash because she thinks he's part of it. Then she discovers he's not part of Henry's men.
Mm.
And that's it. We never hear... She's never sad for the rest of the movie, except when she gets kidnapped.
She's just the woman to be smooched.
Yeah, she... Her character is... Yeah.
Not good. But...
No. Her character is bad.
Yeah, not great. But also funny?
Yeah, yeah. It's played up for goofs. Yeah. That's the idea.
The thing is, though, about this movie... The one thing that, like, in terms of that storyline that I'm always kind of detached by is in the second one, Ash is saved by the necklace that he gave his girlfriend before she got possessed.
Mm.
In this, he's just forgotten about her. He's just like, ah, whatever. Yep. I don't have the necklace anymore.
Nope. Multiple women. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. I mean, I guess he's been through hell almost literally, so
yeah,
whatever.
But, yeah, I feel like this could have been done better. Like, you know, he falls in love with this new girl, and one of the demons tries to torture him by saying, "Hey, you remember your old girlfriend?" Like, it changes.
That would have been great. Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been cool? And he'd been like, would have been like, could have had a line where he's holding the chainsaw. It's like, "Can't you tell? We're through." Or something.
Yeah, as it cuts through.
"I'm over you."
Well, this is quite a high-budget studio movie as well, so I've kind of got a feeling that maybe Universal wanted it to be very standalone, and so it was some studio... Because I know that there is studio interference with the ending, which we will get to probably at the end of the review, because there's a whole other ending to this movie.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because I know I liked the ending, but it was weird.
The ending leads into the TV show quite well, but I love the idea of the original ending. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, so he is proven to not be a part of Duke Henry's men. He kills a deadite. They're all like, here's the chosen one. And then he goes out into the woods to find the Necronomicon.
Yeah, because the wise men's like, you need to get the book to get home, and you need the book to save us. Go get the book. Remember these three words.
Remember these three words.
It's very clear. He makes it repeat it multiple times. It's Oh man, what were the words again, Sandra? I've forgotten the words.
Kalatu Bardata Ni.
Ah yes, those were the words. Yes. Was it? No. It was something. It was like necktie, nectar, nickel, noodle. It's an N word. It's definitely an N word. Whoa, Ash! You can't say the N word.
That is so good though, because like when he got to the point where he has to recite those words, I'd forgotten what the words he had to say were.
Yeah.
So when he's about to say it, I'm like, oh yeah, I've forgotten what the words are. Oh, he has as well. Ah, it's clever.
Yep, that's funny.
Clever Sam Raimi and his jokes. Good stuff.
On the way to the Necronomicon, he encounters a windmill. He's being chased by a demon again?
It's the POV Evil Dead thing.
We get the POV demon thing, which possessed him last time, except this time it chases him and then stops chasing him, and we never get another POV demon again.
I think it's just a franchise staple.
Yeah, but I would have liked to see what happened to it.
It went and slunk back into the woods like it did last time.
Yeah. It became the lame one again.
Oh, yeah, because he shuts a door in its face and it just, like runs off.
It at least tries to slam in, but it does eventually just give up, which I was a bit disappointed with. Because that's what we talked about in the second one. We were like, hey, this is great.
But is it the Evil Dead from 2, or is it the Back in Time Evil Dead? That's not quite as bold as the one in 2.
Yeah, it's clearly a different demon, but it's hard to tell them apart. And I wish we could have seen the reason why it disappeared. Maybe it went through the rafters. I don't know. Anyway, He smashes a mirror, and the mirror reflects small versions of himself, which makes no fucking sense.
It's cool, though.
But then the small images come alive! Ooh. And now he's being attacked by small people.
It's what's that book called? Gulliver's Travel, that's it.
Yeah. It's just that. They make several jokes. I believe he does, like, what's the thing he says when he's giant? Because it's very funny.
Oh, I don't know if I wrote that down.
But he does a bit of, like, fee-fo-fo-fum, you know, he's having fun being a giant. Until they make him swallow one of his smaller selves.
Which is, like, there's some really good effects in this movie, and then some really dodgy green screen work, which is that. But it's so bad that it's great. I love it.
Yeah, so bad it's good.
Yeah.
He drinks some boiling water, and then he starts growing another one of himself.
Yep.
Which could have been some good horror, but the horror doesn't last very long. We see, like, an eye out of his shoulder.
That was probably, yeah, the one kind of creepy practical effect in this entire movie.
Yeah. It was definitely creepy, but it devolved into him growing another version of himself, and that was the evil Ash.
Yeah, here's my theory. In Evil Dead 2, right, he does get possessed.
Mm.
So my thinking is this is the part of him that got possessed. Kind of pushes its way out, becomes its own person.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's a theory. I think that's a good theory. Yeah. No, I like it. So that's like the evil possessed version of himself splits off and is like, I'm the evil Ash. And you're the goody two-shoes Ash. Goody two-shoes. Goody two-shoes. Goody.
And Ash is like, good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. And just shoots him.
Yep.
It's just great. The one-liners in this movie are consistently incredible. They're all amazing.
And do you know, this leads into some of the quotes, but there's an alternative take where he has the quote, I ain't that good, which is a far better line. I like that one way better. I wish that was in. Oh, well.
So then Evil Ash kind of becomes the leader of the Army of Darkness, and they storm the castle, they gotta fight him off, and then eventually he gets sent back home.
They defeat the Army of Darkness. There's definitely a lot of goofs and jives. I liked some of the action.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good fight.
Especially when he fights the girl.
Yeah, her name's something super, like, cliche.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sheila, that's it, Sheila.
Sheila, yeah, Sheila.
The Bond girl of this movie. She gets possessed at one point, and she's like, I may be bad, but I feel good.
Yes, oh god, I hate that. That line made me physically cringe.
Ah, no, I love it.
Oh, I loved it, but also it made me physically cringe, you know?
Well, how about the line, when I get the book, you send me back. After that, I'm history. Wink, wink.
Ha ha.
He's going to the future. He looks at one of the guy's feet and it's like, your shoelace is untied. But they didn't have shoelaces back then.
Yep, but he still looks down for some reason.
I don't know why. And my favourite quote of the movie, well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. Some guy just tells him all his titles.
One of my favourites was to do with this last scene, which is, lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store. Who the hell are you? Name's Ash. Chick, chick. Housewares. Push.
You think he's going to be like, my name's Ash. Ash Williams. But no.
Nope. Housewares. Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's sent back to his own time and is back at his old job.
Yes, so the ending of this movie, I thought it was going to end with him being sent back, but no, we get an extended bit where he's back at S-Mart.
Mm-hmm.
He's mid-telling the story to an employee who's obviously, like, super bored. Like, he's explaining that he could have been a king, and it's very funny because you feel like the other guy doesn't believe him at all, and it's just, like, a story.
Yeah, it's good.
But then a lady comes over, and she's like, wow, I liked your story, that was so cool. And then an old lady attacks, she's possessed.
Yeah.
And he turns into Action Ash and grabs some guns from aisle 7. And then
that one aisle that he mentioned earlier in the film, yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Sportswear. He gets a gun from Sportswear.
It's good.
And shoots her up. And then makes out with the new girl.
So, yeah, the original ending of the movie, it's like something along the lines of, in order for him to be sent back to the present, he's got to take a certain number of drops of this potion.
Mm.
And he accidentally takes one more drop than he's meant to, which sends him slightly further into the future than he meant to go, which is like this weird Terminator post-apocalyptic universe.
Whoa!
And I think Universal were like, good, I like it, we're not making another one.
yeah, that's fair, okay.
So they kind of, yeah, just like cut it off them. And then the last time we saw Ash after this was like 2015 when the TV show started.
Yeah.
Which is good. I kind of want to cover the show at some point. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. We should definitely cover the show at some point.
Hmm.
But like, you could have definitely ended it on the whole, like, oh no, not again, yeah. I've been sent to the wrong time. I feel like that still could have been a good ending to the franchise.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't necessarily have to lead into another movie out there. But then people would be asking for another movie, for sure. I would have liked to see that. I would have liked to see Ash versus the Terminator. Oh, like, at some point, he replaces his hand with one of the Terminator's hands. It's like,
oh, that would have been so cool.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for the hand.
Yeah.
Chick, chick. Cuts off his hand.
There's not too many moments I wanted to mention from the film itself. There's one thing when he is kind of pulled into one of the fake Necronomicons that he opens and his like face is all stretched out. That was a really cool effect.
That was a cool effect, but also very stupid.
Very
But
dumb.
Also a cool effect.
Because that's kind of the thing with this movie is like, the effects in the first one were, aside from the clown makeup, very realistic in terms of the gore. In this, it's not trying to be real at all.
No. Like, there's just random whatever happening.
Mm.
Like, his face stretches out. He gets half his body splits from himself. You know, it's just kind of wacky. Oh, I liked that they made a hand for him. Like, from a gauntlet of a suit of armor, they made a new hand for him, so he could, so the actor could use his hand again in just a glove. But how do they think prosthetics work? How advanced do you think prosthetics are back in the 1800s?
Back then. I mean, they probably would have had more uses for prosthetics. In terms of hands, I think.
Yeah, they certainly make them, but there's no way they make a working hand actually works.
No.
Like, I remember reading about a recording king who lost a hand, and he had, like, a special hand or whatever thing made for him, so he could still hold a lance in it, but he wasn't able to, like, grip things or anything. He wasn't able to move it.
I just realized, actually, the movie does answer your question in the quotes. There is, of course, the quote when Sheila walks into his workshop after he's made the hand. And then he's like, don't touch that, please. Your primitive intellect wouldn't understand alloys and compositions and things with molecular structures. So that's the answer right there.
Ah, magnets.
It's magnets.
magnets.
He brought the power of magnets with him.
And whatever else he just said there.
Yeah.
But it was definitely magnets.
Oh, one question I wrote down was, he rides a horse pretty well for someone who works in housewares.
Yeah. Well, he's also a sporty guy. He likes to go to the country. He knows how to shoot a gun pretty well. I think Ash is just a sort of adventurous dude.
No.
I could believe, it, like, remember, this is also... This is made, what, around 1987? I'm sure more people knew how to ride horses back then.
Maybe.
Nowadays, it's a pretty rare skill.
Maybe.
But, like, horses were a bit more common back then, I think.
That's all my notes. The music was pretty similar to Spider-Man in some moments.
Okay, that's a...
Yep. I wrote that down for some reason. I was like, is this the same composer as Spider-Man? The same... The ones that Sam Raimi made after this? No.
Huh.
It's a different composer, but it's very similar.
Oh, there you go.
To the Spider-Man theme. That's the rest of the... Is there anything else you wanted to mention from the movie?
No. I think that's everything. They trick up the car at one point, but that wasn't really a thing.
That was cool.
That was a thing for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, he jumps out of the car for a really dumb reason.
Yep. The lady gets snogged by the undead Ash. And the undead Ash uses the same quote that Ash has. Ash says earlier, "Give me some sugar, baby," when they're about to kiss, which, oh my god, that was a bit, like, cringe.
It's Bond. It's just Bond.
Yeah, it's super James Bond, like, oh, hey, female role, here's your role. And then later on, the bad guy, he says the same thing because they're both Ash, which was very creepy because he has an undead face and we see them snogging and I'm like, ooh.
And no lips as well. He's just got, like...
Yeah, he's just got teeth.
Just teeth.
That would not be a fun snog.
No.
Tongue and teeth? No, thank you.
Oh, an undead... I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, no, very uncomfortable. Yeah, you know what? I wish the wise men had more of a role. I wish, like, maybe he would help with the glove scene. Like, he knows magic or something, and he helps... Like, give him a magic gauntlet hand, and I would have been far more down.
Yeah, it is quite magic light.
Yes, because they have the Necronomicon, right? You'd think there would be a lot more magic going on in this film. But there's only evil magic. There's no good magic. Is there any good magic in this film?
No.
See, that I think that would have been... Because he mentions a holy book as well, and then nothing happens with that.
Yeah.
He mentions they need a holy book and the Necronomicon, which I thought was going to be a plot, and then that never got mentioned again. I think that was a plot that they tossed aside.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I would have preferred.
Could have been.
I think that's what was missing from this movie to make it a 5-star movie. Was some good magic, where, like, Ash learns to use some magic and stuff as well. That would have been great stuff to canon, that he knows some, like, good magic as well.
And he's got a chainsaw in one hand, magic in the other.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, I had a brilliant idea. Sorry, I just had a brilliant idea. I would have more of his quest. He quests for a bit longer. Yeah. We have less of the Army of Darkness fight, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
More of him questing. One of the things he needs to do is retrieve a magical artifact. Maybe it's actually the necklace that he gave his girlfriend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't mind that.
And he's like, wait, this is the necklace I found in an old antique shop that I gave to my girlfriend to wear. You know.
That's so dumb. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
But it's brilliant, right? And that's how it stops the demon.
Yeah.
Later, it wasn't his love for his girlfriend. It's a magical artifact.
That is... I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
And the wise man explains that you can only use magic if you've got a magical artifact, right?
Yeah.
So the wise man does some healing at some point, and he's like, wow, magical artifact, so powerful. And then later on in the movie, the lady dies. Like, the lady gets stabbed or whatever, and he's like, oh no, I need to do the healing, but I don't have a magical artifact. And then he realizes
he's got
his new hand. His new hand is a magical artifact because the wise man helped him build it. So he can use his magic hand to heal people.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
And other things. Yeah. And then he uses it to defeat the bad guy by, like, shooting a fireball out of it or whatever. You know.
No. He shoots a fireball above the army, takes out the shotgun, shoots that fireball with the shotgun, rains down on all of them, and then he runs up to the leader and decapitates them with the chainsaw.
The ending was better. The ending they had was better with the catapult. The catapult with TNT.
TNT catapult?
Yeah.
That's so good. That whole ending is just like, it's pretty... From a filmmaking perspective, they're just blowing up toys, but it's very fun to watch.
Yeah, so the bad guy jumps onto the end of a catapult, which just so happens to have a bag of explosives in the thing, and is currently lit, so Ash is like, okay, cool, and cuts the catapult wire. The bad guy's skeleton head does a train noise.
Yep.
Like, it's like, choo! It's like, uh-oh! And then it launches him into the sky and blows him up.
And blows him up.
Anyway, and that's all that I wanted to talk about the movie.
Yeah, oldie or a goodie? I mean, I feel like...
A goodie, obviously. Yeah.
Would you give it an award? Because, like, for me, it's five... Like, out of the trilogy, it's probably... It's the one I return to the most, but it's probably the worst out of all of them. But it's still really good. I really liked it still.
It's definitely the worst horror movie, but I don't think it's the worst movie. I don't know. It's much different from the other ones. This is like a B fantasy movie, not a horror movie, which is weird because all the other ones were horror. It was very horror focused.
And yet it's also kind of a parody of Conan and all the classic B movie.
Because he's like not a great hero.
No.
But then he is at some points. It's funny. I would give it the Back to the Porridge Award.
Yeah, all right.
Yep, time travel.
Back to the Porridge Award there for Army of Darkness. Well, hello there. My name's Sally McSeller. I'm an American, and I'm here to wish you a happy new year. Just kidding. I'm also here to sell you patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. Do you want to support Sandro and Zach through their podcasting adventures? Head over to patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod and get bonus episodes like Friday the 13th, part 7. They reviewed it. Here's a clip. We've got Melissa. She's the rich one. I called her Princess Diana in my notes because she looks like Princess Diana. Not saying Princess Diana's mean, I'm just saying that what she was wearing looked very similar to something Princess Diana would wear.
I'm gonna hit you with a what the fuck, Sandro. That's fucked up.
And then the other characters...
Whoa, before we move on, for you saying something even worse than before, I want you cancelled on Twitter for saying that character was Princess Diana.
That guy with... She looks like she's dressed like Princess Diana. I don't know what to say.
They're a bitch character. She's the rich bitch.
I guess. But I don't like saying that, so I'm calling her Princess Diana.
Rich bitch. Yeah, no, instead you're insulting the name of Princess Diana, our beloved monarch, our true queen.
Our beloved monarch? No monarchs are beloved, but she was one of the good ones, it's true. Oh my god, that was such a great clip, and you can head over to patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod to get every single Friday the 13th review, including that one of number 7. It's Spooky Ookie, and I'm Sally McSeller. I'm an American. Oh, by the way, head to Patreon. You can also get ad-free and bonus episodes of the main show. That's crazy. And one bonus episode a month. sometimes two if they're doing a special event. It's fucking amazing. Oh, I swore I should have done that. Yeehaw! Do you want to do Raven Reviews but I'm in charge, or taglines but you're in charge?
Well, yeah, let's do both, but I want to do taglines because right. I want to flip the script today. I want to do a bit of taglines. So, we have a lot of taglines to go through, so we're just going to jump into it. There is 8 taglines.
8 taglines to this movie.
Yeah. All right. Sheesh. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. Are you going to give it thumbs up, thumbs down? He's a 20th century guy trapped in the Middle Ages.
It grabs your attention, but it feels like a fish out of water comedy. I don't like that. Thumbs down.
That's uncreative. Immediately, this one's better. Foretold by a mystical book.
Ooh.
Forewarned by a wise man. Ooh. Fulfilled by a wise guy.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
I like that one.
Yeah, the wise guy thing is pretty good. I like that. That's funny. Thumbs up for that one. That's good stuff.
Trapped in time, surrounded by evil, low on gas.
The car fell from a vortex out of the sky. I don't think even if it had gas, it would work. Thumb down. I don't love that.
Yeah, I think that one would have been better if the car was more of a plot. I wish he had... If instead of taking a horse, he's like, I can't ride a horse, I'll drive.
drives the car.
And he drives, like, the reason he's the hero foretold and he's the only one that can go on the quest is because a horse wouldn't do it, but a car could make it.
Yeah.
That could have been good. I don't know.
I do like that.
Missed opportunity. I think that's the problem I have with this movie. It misses a lot of opportunities, I feel.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
One man, 1 million dead. The odds are... just about even.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that. Thumb up. That's really dumb. I like that.
That's on par with this movie.
Yeah.
They move, they breathe, they suck.
Oh, because they swallow your soul.
Yep.
Yeah. Thumb down. No.
Thumb down. No. Absolutely.
No.
Funny, but bad.
Yeah.
Sound the trumpets, raise the drawbridge, and drop the Oldsmobile.
That's better.
They must have used... Yeah, they must have used the car a lot in the trailers.
Yeah. That's better than the other car one, so on that basis, a thumb up, but it's a light thumb up. It's shaky. That thumb is shaken.
Yeah, that's a shaky thumb. They needed to use the car a bit more if they're going to use it in all their taglines.
True.
They even had a bit at the start where they very pointedly point out that the car traveled with him, like through the portal. So I was like, oh, is he going to use the car a bit? And he only uses it like once.
Yeah, just for that end scene.
For the end scene. So clearly they were planning on making it more of a thing, but they didn't.
Yeah, it would have been good to see him like Mad Maxing around, you know?
Yeah, Mad Maxing and Fandit, that would have been sweet. Oh, well, but they didn't.
That would have been really cool.
How can you destroy an army that's already dead?
I like that. Thumb up. That's fun. That's good.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that one. And finally, the last one is, in an age of darkness, at a time of evil, when the world needed a hero, what it got was him.
Good stuff. Thumb up.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just a good old joke. A classic joke. I love a joke.
Classic jokey line, yeah. So we got some good ones there.
Yeah, this is definitely a tagline-y, quote-y sort of movie. So I'm glad that they mostly delivered. Let's see if the Letterboxd reviews deliver. Because it's time for Raven Reviews, but I'm in charge. And it's also an option that they don't rate the film anything. Because who cares? There's quite a few long reviews that I'm just grabbing quick excerpts from. Because they're quite funny.
Yeah, all right. Long rude ones.
A lot of long ones, but I'm just grabbing lines from them. This is a line from a review from Dirk, who says, "It is the trilogy's Santa Claus, adding joy, merriment, and laughter."
Ooh, that's interesting. Is that positive? It could be negative.
Depends on what you think about Santa Claus. The dirty old rascal.
I hated that. No. I don't know what your experience is with Santa, huh? Not going to have you sit it on his lap, that's for sure.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to.
yep, nope, you're not going to. We're going to cut that.
I'm not going to cut it. I'm just not going to say what I was thinking.
No. We're going to nip that right in the bud is what I was going to say.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Something else is going to be nipping
me in the bud. We're gonna say this is 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5.
4.5. 4.5. There we go.
This is a very funny clip from a massive review from 2 Cents. But I just love this line, which is, the mythology of these films makes so little sense, you'd think it would have become part of the Scientology religion by now.
Ooh, that sounds pretty negative. I'm going to give that 0.5.
It's 0.5. It's 0.5. Hey. Now, these next two reviews work so well back-to-back. It starts off with a review from Alex, who says, name a better trilogy, I'll wait.
Okay, 5 out of 5.
Name a better trilogy. First thing that pops into your head.
Oh, sorry, better trilogy, Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. And it was 5 out of 5. This review from Matt says, Hail to the King is greater than Return of the King, because he says Hail to the King in the movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You bamboozled me.
I bamboozled you.
You knew I would say Lord of the Rings. Damn it. Sandro, you bamboozled me.
I don't
me.
Think this is a better trilogy than Lord of the Rings, but it's just as good of a trilogy for Lord of the Rings for something completely different.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, but this trilogy was really good. Trilogies are quite hard to do well.
They are.
Sequels and other things are quite hard. So the fact that this was as good as it was is very impressive.
Especially for horror. I mean, yeah. Let me think. Is there a good horror trilogy out there?
Nightmare on Elm Street?
You've got to deal with the second one. Actually, no, because the first one's great. The second one's so bad it's good. And the third one's pretty decent.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Saw trilogies, but apparently that went pretty bad.
I like the first four.
First four.
And then immediately crashed after the fourth film.
Hey, well, four movies. Four good movies. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
One good movie and then 3 additional movies that were definitely okay to watch.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for.
Yep. Anyway, that guy said 5 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Anyway. 4 out of 5.
Damn it.
From Matt. What is Matt rating Lord of the Rings then? Because the definitive rating for all Lord of the Rings films is 5 out of 5.
Clearly.
Like, do you even film?
Well, I actually have a friend who's not a huge fan of Lord of the Rings. But he plays D&D and loves fantasy and stuff.
Probably a Wheel of Time nerd. There's nothing wrong with the Wheel of Time. I'm very excited for that TV show.
All right, Sandro. First off, wow. Second off, the Wheel of Time is a great book series.
They're good.
And I cannot wait for the movie is it a TV series?
Well, it's a TV series, but with the budget of a movie.
Wow. And I cannot wait for it to come out because the Wheel of Time series is a fantastic series. Over the span of 14 books, multiple different authors, it is a fantastic, joyful ride for the entire single person. Don't share this with your family.
I read the first half of the first one and went, I really should get back to this. And then I never did. And I will.
What?
But maybe after I watch the first season of the TV show. By the way, trailer for the TV show, Wheel of Time, more like Wheel of Woke. Am I right now? I'm looking forward to it. It looks great.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know whether this weird character is what I'm doing.
The Wheel of Time hater. Sanjo, lockdown is the perfect time to read this. Because lockdown in Australia is going to last probably a couple of years, and that's how long you need to read the Wheel of Time series.
Yeah, because our Prime Minister forgot to order vaccines.
But also, the Wheel of Time series takes fucking years to read. Oh my god.
I was debating... What a tangent, by the way. I was debating... whether or not
you brought up the Wheel of Time. This is on you.
I was debating whether or not to start the Wheel of Time series before the show started, or read the 5 Witcher novels before the second season starts, because they both come out in November. So I was like, I've only got time to do one of these, really. And I chose The Witcher.
That's fair.
Because I want to avoid spoilers for that more, I think.
Oh, you know what? we could watch the new Wheel of Time series. You not reading the books and me having read...
Well, I've read the first half of the first book.
Yeah, you've read the first half, so you'll know that. To be fair, I've only read up to the seventh book, I think, so...
About halfway through.
If they add anything past that, I'm going to be a bit lost. But like, as someone who's definitely read, you know, first five,
yeah.
We can remember them off the top of their head. We could do a, like, what you think of the show versus what I think of the show.
We could do that.
That could be fun.
I want to talk about the Witcher TV show as well, because it's good stuff. I love that show.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, we should do the Witcher as well.
Anyway, that's all the reviews.
That was a tangent.
Tangent and a half. That's fine.
Yeah.
That is the Evil Dead trilogy. Done.
Army of Darkness. What a great trilogy. Thank you. Thank you.
No worries.
For joining me on this adventure. This was fun.
No, I'm glad to have recorded your first time journeying through what is considered one of the best horror trilogies of all time. Some of the best horror films of all time, even though the third one, not a horror film.
Yeah, and I think that's the only thing that was really missing from it.
Next time, I'm treading into waters I haven't ventured into before. I've never seen the Evil Dead remake. We're doing that next time with Scorn. I haven't seen it before. He has. He says it's his favorite horror film from the past decade, which is why we're getting them on.
Yeah. I was excited. That sounds like a good idea.
Apparently it's real spooky. Real spooky, this one.
Oh, spooky. Spooky. Hey. Yeah. Well, that's better than not.
I guess.
I could say.
Depends what you want in a movie. But anyway, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for subscribing to Patreon, as always. We will see you next time. Until then, make sure you stay groovy. You sign off. You sign off.
Wow, that was pretty lame. Let me lame it up a bit more. Oh. Yo, she bitch, let's go.
Yeah, he does say that. He does say that in the movie.
Like... an alternative to what type of bitch? Is it a bitch very specifically like a female?
It is a female dog. Yeah.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Well, how about... You're a goody little two-shoes, goody little two-shoes, goody little two-shoes. Good, bad... I'm the guy with the gun.
And if you don't understand that joke, that's because your primitive intellect wouldn't understand alloys and compositions and things with molecular structures.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.